You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. Jeremy Warner, Illini Inquirer publisher here. Hopefully you're all staying warm and dry. My three-year-old daughter wanted to go outside today in this 10 degrees, wind whipping. So bundled her all up, put her out there, and she came right back inside after that. So she's still learning about these Midwest winters that we have. But despite that, the coaching carousel is still spinning in college football. The head coaches seem like they've settled in, but now you're getting some other coaching movement elsewhere, and that includes the University of Illinois, where Tony Peterson on his way out at Illinois. Illinois has not announced that officially yet. Just a matter of time, though, as it seems like they want to kind of put together just one announcement where they can announce Tony Peterson's moving on, but also have their next guy in place, which many people, including myself, expect to be Barry Lunny, but that is not a done deal as we are recording this on Wednesday, January 5th in the afternoon. So we'll see if Brett Bielema was able to close on Barry Lunny, but Tony Peterson is on his way out, and we'll see where Brett Bielema goes from there. But the great thing about having Jay Layman all years is Jay wanted to give his thoughts on Illinois moving on from Tony Peterson. And Jay reached out to me and said, hey, do you want me on a pod? And I'm like, of course I want Jay Layman's thoughts on this. Everybody wants Jay Layman's thoughts on this. The All-American linebacker, and just gives such great insight on football. And I think Jay and I, throughout the season, we kept saying, like, we don't expect Tony Peterson to be fired just because it's so rare, right? You can go back and Tim Beckman fired his co-coordinators, Billy Gonzalez and Chris Beatty, after 1 year. I believe it was Vince Okrich after Rod Zook's first year. It just doesn't happen all that often at Illinois, where first year the expectations aren't that high because you're taking over a struggling program. All these coaches before the new coaches were fired, right? So you're not expected to make bowl games right away. But I've said this before. I think Brett Bielema saw last year because of the offense. Because of the defense, how good it was and how the offense struggled, I think you saw it as a missed opportunity to really, you know, have a 7-8-win season, kind of do what Purdue did this year and really take your program up a notch right away. And he didn't want to compound a mistake. So Jay Layman caught up with me, and we chatted about Tony Peterson's firing, what it means for the program, what it says about the program, what it says about Brett Bielema, as well as Josh Whitman. And then we talk about Barry Lunny and what he could potentially bring to Illinois if he is indeed the hire, and what a coaching change would mean for the current players on the roster, including the quarterback. So Jay Layman, All-American linebacker, he's coming up next on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Kind enough to join us today in the Illini Inquirer podcast is Jay Lehman, All-American linebacker, Illini Inquirer football analyst. And Jay, I was hoping to give you an off-season here, man, before I brought you on. But you're kind enough to join us and give us your thoughts on something. Sure. I'm a little surprised. I think really surprised probably October, November. I would have thought Tony Peterson gets a couple years. But 1 year in, Tony Peterson is out as offensive coordinator. Brett Bielema is making this big move. What was your reaction to it?
First, I was surprised. It wasn't like shock and awe, but I was surprised by it. And I looked at what happened. I actually don't think it was the season. The season played into it. I think what happened after the season had more to do with the change in direction. Why do I say that? Okay. I say that because we lost a player in Deuce Spann that, you know, didn't have any qualms with the coaching staff that we know of. Or whatnot. I think he simply went to a program that he felt he could excel as a receiver better. I think when they went on the recruiting trail, they realized a little bit how limited they were to recruit certain positions. We see what they wanted to emphasize on. We saw they wanted to emphasize offensive line. We saw their ability to get some backs. The outside linebackers, I think they've got a lot of good players. And Akis, and I might be mispronouncing his name, but you know, some of these guys that they got in. But it was about those positions that got highlighted. And what I think they saw was, hey, recruiting quarterbacks and receivers might be tough. And in college football, we need that. And I think the Tommy DeVito coming as well, who fits really well with Tommy DeVito? Was he going to fit well into Tony Peterson's system? So I do think the season had a large portion to play into it. I don't think that was the defining factor, though. I think they wanted to get through the recruiting season, number one. But number two, who they were able to recruit, what they heard on the road, what kind of transfer portal interest they got really played into this decision. And I have no inside knowledge of that. Yeah. That's just how I look into it. I think that was a big deal.
Yeah, I don't disagree that has to play a role, Jay. That do you have confidence moving forward that Tony Peterson can fix the quarterback room? Do you have confidence that he can get the game breakers you need, right, to succeed in the Big Ten? Because, you know, obviously Brett made this hire. It was his first hire. Right, and he's admitting it was a mistake to hire Tony Peterson, sure. But obviously the season had a lot to do with it, right? Because they took steps back. I know stats aren't the perfect thing, but in most statistical categories, they took a step back this year from what they did the year prior under Rod Smith, and I think we especially see the passing game really struggled. So, what do you think Brett Bielema saw on the field that made him say this isn't going to work long term?
Yeah, so 100% agree with you. On that, I would say to Tony Peterson's defense, we're not sure how much he had a healthy quarterback around, right? I mean, because Peters gets hurt, comes out that Art Sitkowski was, I wouldn't say hiding injury, it was an undisclosed injury to the fans, right? But nobody knows more about it than Brett Bielema and Tony Peterson. They are able to get a good grade on it. I think what it came down to was, if we watch any other team on here, the ability to get easy completions is there. There wasn't an ability to get easy completions in this offense, right? Even if we watch relatively inept offenses, let's take Iowa, right? They could complete a hitch route for seven yards. They could complete a boot consistently, right? They could complete a little option route, right? And I would just say, we were not able to do that. Remember, we would joke and exhale and be like, oh, we got a completion, or oh, we got some yards after the catch, right? And I think Brett realized that we've got to have more out of the position. Now, it was our assessment in giving Tony Peterson the benefit of the doubt, and I said this during the season, that maybe the horses weren't in the stable for the passing attack. They certainly had their horses in the stable for the offensive line, and maybe they didn't take advantage of it like they needed to. But I think the lack of easy completions, I think the lack of development at the receiver position with some of the transfer portal guys that didn't have it. Having, you know, three decent tight ends, and we used them, but we always thought we could use them more for the amount they were on the field, right? I mean, they had decent production, but we always felt like we could use them more. And so I think at the end of the day, he realized, man, we really, really need to have easy completions. And then number two, I would say this. I'm not sure what Tony Peterson was like as a recruiter. I don't think he was the top. I don't know if he was the bottom. He's also not a young and upcoming coach. Brett Bielema's history has been, I take young coaches and I make them head coaches. You know, if you look, and Ryan Walters is probably the next one of those in time at the DC position. But I think he had like 8 or 9 at Wisconsin that went on to be head coaches, right? And I think he'll probably want to get a guy that has a chance to be like that, a head coach someday. And he would kind of be the senior statesman of the team then. And even at a young, you know, I think he's just over 50 or so. So those are the two factors I would throw in there.
Yeah, I want to talk about the potential name that has come up here, Jay, in a little bit here. But I think, like, you know, you and I try to give Tony, we try to be fair to him, right? Like, he didn't have his guys. He didn't recruit any of these people outside of Arthur Sikowski, right? Maybe Jafar Armstrong. But you see what Ryan Walters is able to accomplish with guys he inherited, right? And develop them and put them in the right position to succeed. And I don't think any of us expected Tony Peterson to have a top 40 offense with what he had. But could they have been top 80? Yeah, I do. I think they could have been that in the right kind of situations if injuries go your way. So what do you think? Because Brandon Peters, before the last 4 games, felt like he was having his worst year, right? I felt like the tight ends, you mentioned it, could have been better. And even I think internally, Jay, they think the offensive line could have been even better. So why do you think he was not able to get the most out of them?
I mean, that's – first of all true points. Why was he not able to get the most of it? I think juxtaposed against Ryan Walters and the improvement. Like, well, let's say Ryan Walters' defense continued like the first 3 weeks of the season, right? And then you had the offense. I don't think you'd have that stark of a contrast, right? Because it's like, hey, it is what we got. Offense and defense struggled. And I hired both these guys and I'm the head coach, you know? So, like, but I think when you saw what Ryan Walters was able to do, we saw how important coaching was. We saw the kind of players and the way that the way he connects with players, the way he's able to connect with recruits, how, you know, widely, I mean, he's highly acclaimed across all college football circles, right? And so I think it doesn't help when you got the superstar on this side and you're going against, you know, a veteran coach, but certainly not a flashy hire or a flashy recruiter. Doesn't mean he's not a good coach, right? But I would say this. I don't think Brandon Peters had no favors. I think 6 years, 5 offensive coordinators, I believe. And he was hurt early on in the year. So he struck. It's very hard to say, okay, this or that, or Brandon would have been better. But what I was – it's always my thing that I think the offensive coordinator has to transfer confidence to the quarterback. I really do. Like, they've got to get their quarterback to be confident, to be the leader. I think we saw that last 2 or 3 games a little bit. It just didn't happen soon enough, and we didn't see enough chances being taken. And when we did see chances being taken, it was so out of context. Like in the Wisconsin game, we're like, well, why aren't we running the ball at all, right? It was like feast or famine. And a lot of times, and I said this too, I think Tony Peterson had the right play call. In the Maryland game, the last drive, they had guys wide open on some plays that they had schemed up Maryland on. They just couldn't protect. Again, going back to the offensive line, I think that's going to be the biggest question of the season is, why wasn't the offensive line as good as we thought they were going to be? And I think with the veteran players there and them not maybe executing, that played a role into it as well.
Jay, this is a pretty big statement by Brett, right? That this isn't good enough. Like, we're raising the bar here. Like 5-7, you might have, you know, we had some good takeaways towards the end of the season because you had some good wins. But I think he sees this as a missed opportunity. And the offense was the big reason. I mean, full stop, that they didn't make a bowl game, right? So he's like, hey, this isn't good enough. But also, this is a pretty big commitment from Josh Whitman financially to buy out an OC and bring in another one. As an alum of the program, what does this move say to you?
Well, it's definitely a different standard. I think number one, it says it's a different standard in town, right? I mean, I don't think we would have this. 5-7 would be acceptable usually. And we would say, oh, we were close, but no cigar, right? And I think looking back on it a little bit, I think Brett, if he goes back to those Maryland and Purdue games, those fourth down calls, I think he takes ownership for it. But I think it'd be different if he had more trust as offensive coordinator. I really do. Right. And so it comes back on him. Everybody said, why isn't he going for it? And he's thinking to himself, well, the reason I didn't go for it is I don't trust our offense can get it. Well, why don't I trust the offense can get it? So if I play back the season, and those are two games, and maybe possibly a third game we could have won, and now I have an 8-win season, and I could be in a bowl game with possibly a 9-win season like Purdue, who is a team we have looked at that is on par over the years, talent and recruiting-wise and everything, in location with Illinois, that better than us under Jeff Brom for sure. Wow, we had a missed opportunity. We could have been Purdue. Why weren't we Purdue? Well, we didn't score enough, right? And so I think that's what he saw. I do think it takes a lot of humility to say, my first hire was bad. I made a mistake. Hey, Josh, I made a mistake. Buy this guy out. I'm going to do it the right way, you know, and get a guy in. But it definitely sets a different standard than what we're used to, right? He does not want to do that. And let's remember, the Big Ten West, the last couple champions have had two losses in the conference. And it was almost three losses this year. If you look at it, right, it was really close. I mean, so those games made a difference. You get some of those wins in those games. We weren't that far away with the Rutgers game and everything. I mean, to being in that Big Ten West race.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the frustrating thing. It says if we're going to be competitive in this race, we've got to throw the football better. Just no doubt.
All right, Jay, the name that's been brought up, I've heard this name too, not a done deal yet as we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon, but certainly had a name on my list last year that I thought I probably would have been more excited on paper if Brett Bielema would have hired him last year, but now you're even more excited if he can lock down Barry Lunney Jr. out of UTSA. Sure. We saw that offense up close pretty good against Ryan Walters, Zachary Franklin, Sincere McCormick, Frank Harris. What would you think of a Barry Lunney offense at Illinois, and what would that mean for the program?
So a couple things. One, I'm doing some research on Brett Bielema. I actually saw something on YouTube. Like there's a little thing on Barry Lunney when he first gets the job at Arkansas. So it was a good little listen to watch that when he was coached, I think, at Bentonville High School in Arkansas. He got out of the college game for a little bit, was at Bentonville High. I think they had a lot of success there. That when they went to Arkansas was maybe the tight end coach or something. Yep. Obviously they went to UTSA after, kind of went around and obviously had some good success there. Zachary Franklin, Sincere McCormick, Frank Harris, you talked about all that. And so he's got history with Brett, number one. Two, we saw what UTSA's defense offense did to a Ryan Walters defense. Now Ryan Walters defense had not yet grown or adjusted or improved yet, but it was pretty impressive what they were able to do. And let's not forget, although they threw the ball a lot, they wanted to run the football with Sincere McCormick, but they had to throw it a little bit because that was what was open. So I think with Tommy DeVito coming in, with who we have at running back and Chase Brown, the ability to throw the football better with somebody that he knows that is an up-and-coming coach at UTSA. I mean, a guy like Barry Lunney, no knock to a trailer at UTSA because I think he's going to turn that program into – a pretty substantial group of five team over the years. It's really hard to keep coordinators there that are good.
Yeah.
Right. And so we Barry Lunney's going to get offers. And so if they're able to get Barry Lunney to sign the dotted line, I think it's a great hire. I think it matches the mold of a young up and coming coach who eventually could be a head coach. And he played the position of quarterback. So did Tony Peterson. So I think that's going to help as well.
Run pass option. He runs that a little bit. Jay fakes the, how do you expect that to fit what Illinois currently has? If Lunney's the hire, right? This is all, sure. If he's the hire, how would that fit this crew? Because I do think Brett's going to have a little bit different, right? I think he's going to have the same core principles, sure, in a run power offense, have his tough, smart, dependable thing. But it feels like there's going to be a little difference, especially in how they pass the ball.
Sure. Well, first and foremost, let's just talk formation. They were an under center team, 12 personnel. And that just means two tight ends, one back, and, two receivers. I think what we saw more out of UTSA was a lot of 11 and 10 personnel, one tight end, one back, or no tight ends, four receivers. And so I think it starts out with, we'll get more shotgun with traditional shotgun with Chase Brown to the side. If, McCray is in the football game, Josh McCray, we could see more pistol, which is where the back is behind. You still had a shotgun, and you can still run zone read, and you can still run pass option out of the pistol, right? So we'll see more pistol. We'll see more of that. But largely, a lot of the same plays. I think we'll see stretch plays and whatnot. But I also think you're going to see more quarterback run with Tommy DeVito, which is going to make it one of the things that really hurt us. And we saw this in some games, especially the Rutgers game. After it came out, the outside zone was the best play for Illinois. We saw what we called fast flow from the defense, meaning they were just like, okay, they're going outside. We got to get to the outside, right? And what was good about Tony Peterson is he had some counters to that in the Northwestern game. And you saw how effective those were. But they had to be built-in counters, meaning they were reverses to Isaiah Williams. They were different throwback plays, right? Well, now with Tommy DeVito being a more mobile option, now the counter is just the quarterback keeps.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to stretch over the run. And if I see fast flow linebackers go, I go up for 6 yards straight up the field. And I think that's what quarterback is. And this is a really simple concept, but it always comes down to math. If I'm under center and I hand the football off, it's really 11 on 9, okay? So if I can make two guys miss a tackle, okay, or be out of the picture and everybody blocks, it's a touchdown. When I go to where the quarterback's running the football, it's 11 on 10. I got to make one man miss, and if everybody blocks, I'm out the gate. So there's a difference, right? And so that's basically the basic football numbers aspect of it. I think Tommy DeVito and Barry Looney Jr. are going to come into, and the RPO game. Can we get an RPO game consistent where you can throw that slant on the money like we saw with Zachary Franklin, yeah, bang our corners at?
Yeah. Isaiah Williams probably could be happy about this. Jay, before I let you go, how tough is that for a player? I'm thinking of like Reggie Love. This would be his third offensive coordinator in 3 years. Isaiah Williams, I believe, his third in 4 years. Like, how difficult is that for a player? Or do they just roll with the punches? Do you guys just roll with the punches here?
So I do think it's a little bit difficult. But at the same time, what choice do I have, right? If I want to play – I've got to learn the system, right? And if I'm Reggie Love, no knock on Reggie Love, he didn't play as much as he probably wanted to, right? So it's like, maybe this is an opportunity for me, number one. And then I think it's maybe a little bigger shock to some of those offensive guys that committed. They're just getting used to college football, like the recruits. You got Beatty or Aiden Loffrey or Donovan Leary, is that correct?
Yeah.
Those are some of the guys like, oh, I'm a totally new offensive coordinator coming in, right? So it's totally, totally different. So I think it could be a little bit of a shock to him. But I do think we'll see more RPO. I think we'll see more quarterback run. I don't think we're going to get away from running the football. That's just not who Brett is. But I think he realized, man, we needed a little bit more something, especially to attract receivers here and to attract quarterbacks here. That's going to make it more sustainable to win games down the stretch on third down.
It's a big move after 1 year. Jay Layman, as always, thanks for the insight, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. Take care.
You know what I'm going to say. Jay Layman's the goods, man. Love talking football with him. Always come out smarter, just as we do talking basketball with Michael Tulip. It's why I love having those guys on, and for Jay just to give us his time for free for that one. Really appreciate that. So hope you enjoyed that with Jay Layman. And as always, when official news breaks, whether it's on Tony Peterson's official firing or Barry Lunny, we'll have you covered there. And if it's somebody else, we'll have you covered there. But right now, all signs point to the UTSA offensive coordinator. But we shall see. A big move for Brett Bielema. I've said that before, but it's a big move making this after just one season. Check out everything at IllinoisInquirer.com. Give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts. Rate us, review us. We appreciate that. Helps us out as well. And give us a follow on our YouTube page. Just search Illini Inquirer. You can see our video podcast there, all our interviews as well. And as I said before, I'm going to maybe try and build up that page a little bit more and give you some more video content as we go ahead. Thank you as always for listening to the podcast. Appreciate you. Everybody take care of each other. Have a great day. And we'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.